and you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Wow, is it a big weekend coming up. Big day as well. We've got so much coming up on the show today. You're going to want to stay tuned for all 4 hours. Scotty and I always say this, we don't ask a ton of you. We just ask 4 hours a day. That's not too much to ask. Hang out with us. We have a lot of fun. We bring on guests. We talk football. We talk basketball. We talk hockey. Yesterday, we got into a lengthy hockey conversation with a former LA Kings player. We do it all. So just hang out with us for 4 hours. We have a blast. We try to laugh a little bit. And it's a Friday, so it's a special day. Friday, we always go through our, I would call it altered audio. I guess some would say altered audio. So we'll go through that. Back into the show, you're going to want to hear that. I guess it has something to do with bloated cows. That's what Lloyd's telling me. So we'll have that. We've got some great interviews. San Diego State insider that's going to be joining us at 11:05 and so much more. So just hang out with us. But of course, these games kicking off this weekend have huge meaning for Utah, BYU, and for Utah State. Now, we don't talk enough about this Utah State Air Force game, but Utah State kicks off conference action against a very cocky Air Force team that was actually rubbing it in the face of Utah State through tweets and other forms. Thought it was pretty funny to kind of show that overall record and talk about what happened last year. And Air Force is feeling pretty cocky right now.
Why would you rub it in like that?
I don't know. I don't know what Air Force is thinking. I hope that Blake Anderson and his boys all saw it. I hope that they've got that tweet posted up, because to have the Air Force
Academy. It's very young cadet-like, by the way.
To have the Air Force Academy send out a overall record of 35-7, I believe it was 35-7, and send that out from their football account and kind of rub it in the face of the Aggies. They should be having none of that. They should show up on fire. I mean, you're already motivated to play. You're playing for an NFL contract. You're playing for the start. You're playing, you know, you're playing for name, image, and likeness. Your name is worth something, so you want to play extra hard to make your name more valuable. But there's nothing that used to drive me more than having some other team talk trash. And it doesn't even have to be specifically towards me. It's just them talking trash, and that's what Air Force is doing. And then, of course, you've got BYU in this Arizona State matchup. It's a huge matchup. I heard Kalani talking about when we played him in 1998, and I was a part of that team. Kalani and I were both, I believe we were sophomores in that year. I was playing defensive end. Kalani was playing fullback, and Kalani and I lined up in years, so we actually played. Kalani got back from his mission, and we played 3 years together and had an absolute blast. So I was part of that team that last beat Arizona State. Not only last played Arizona State, but last beat Arizona State. And I heard Kalani talking about that. I was cracking up. Kalani was the king of getting the ball to the one-yard line, but not getting the ball in the end zone. And every time we were at the one-yard line, they would bring Kalani off the field, even though he was a fullback. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't give Kalani more opportunities to score, but he just never found that opportunity. And then, of course, the University of Utah taking on San Diego State. Excited
was
to
that,
take.
Was the coach the varsity blues coach? The guy that always brought the workhorse off when it was about to be at, when it was finally at the 1 yard line.
That's exactly what
you know what I'm talking about.
That's exactly what he was. Exactly. So Kalani Sitake, he was, as a player, I got to tell you, as a player, he was a hard-nosed dude, but he was Mr. Calm, cool, and collected at all times. You couldn't shake him as a football player. It just doesn't matter what the score was. And Kalani would just be looking at everybody like, we got this, guys. And it's like, it's 42-0 and it's half, Kalani. We don't got these guys. Oh, we got them. We got them right where we want them.
He doesn't sound like a guy that ever took the playoff. Like he just sounds like he's just blocking until the whistle finally blew.
He was always blocking when he was on.
That's
a
what he talked
field.
About. I mean, I think earlier in the week he was talking about how I was a blocker. I like to block. That's enjoyed.
I couldn't believe it too. He really did.
It's like when I my senior year in high school, when I went and decided I wanted to play a real contact sport. I played hockey.
Yeah.
And all I did was try to just hit people. I didn't even go for the puck. Just trying to hit people.
Kalani loved to hit people. I think back to my football, my entire football career, going back into high school and all the way through college, NFL, AFL, and retirement. Lloyd, I think, and I was never diagnosed with concussions, ever. Never. Now, I had dings, multiple dings, where the world was spinning. I had one ding where the lights went out for about 10 seconds, and I didn't go unconscious, I just went blind. It knocked me literally black blind. Couldn't see a thing. That was against Washington. It was a pulling guard, just caught me off the left side, put his helmet right in my temple, right in my ear hole, and blew me up. But the one, what I would have assumed would have been diagnosed a concussion was off from Kalani. Came in on a twist stunt during practice, during a team period, came free. Was headed right for the quarterback, and there's Kalani standing in front of the quarterback, and he dropped his head on me. And I remember hitting Kalani helmet to helmet, and it nearly dropped me to my knees. And the most bizarre concussion that I've ever had, I've never had anything since, I might not ever have anything like it again, but Lloyd, I recalled the full week of dreams that I had instantly. So that was Kalani. He could drop his helmet on anybody. He could block anybody. But anytime we got close to the goal line, they took Kalani off the field and gave the ball to Will Snowden or Ronnie Jenkins.
Kalani's sitting there like, come on, man.
I got us down here.
Come on.
I just blocked for 60 yards, and you're going to take me off the field? And there's Will. 1 yard
I'll
touchdown.
Take this. I got this.
Will, if you're listening, you know it's true. Don't try to call in and dispute it. You know it's true. Anyways, I'm here in studio. Scotty G is in Logan on campus getting ready to take a flight, headed to call that game, Utah State and Air Force. Scotty, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Hans. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Sorry for being a little late to the party, but I feel for Kalani on that. That dude needed to get more touchdowns.
Well, it was just funny, and it was a recurring theme throughout the 3 years we played together. He did go through some injuries. He had a surgery on his lower back because he was just so physical, and I think he jacked his back up in football, and he was supposed to take a full year off, and I think he took 2 weeks off, and then he was back playing football. But
so, Scotty, you're sorry for being a few minutes late. Are you sorry for what you said last night to me? What you tweeted at me?
What did I? I don't even know.
Or actually, you texted at me. Sorry, that was pretty. That was pretty rough.
Are you talking about? Wait, are you talking about the text he sent off the text you sent?
Yeah, but mine wasn't that bad.
Oh,
but the
wait.
Whole
okay,
one was,
no,
woo,
that was super.
That was
aggressive.
Next level. Oh,
no,
wait, that's
no.
You.
No, that was...
That was aggressive.
We can't even talk about this on the air. I don't know why you're bringing this up right now.
Well, we have to now. What text
you
was
did
sent?
Was uncalled for.
Okay. Hey, look, you started the whole thing.
Hey, and I'm going to ask both of you to stop sending me Angela Lansbury pictures. I think we've done...
Why are you bringing this up?
I think we've had enough with that.
What is this? Why are we getting loose on a Friday? Come on.
It's a Friday, man. I feel like letting the hair down a little bit. Having a bit of fun.
I'm a little concerned if any of our text messages get out, because sometimes that gets a little sideways. But Lloyd, you had that coming. That was on you.
No, not you went too far. Mine was just kind of like, hey, and yours was like, bam, right in the face.
Hey, something we can talk a little bit about. Where did you find that stuff on John Beck? Lloyd, was that you that said that?
Oh, yeah. No, so I saw somebody tweeted out a quote of... that was the meanest thing I've ever seen. Somebody tweeted out like a quote of it, what Santana Moss said about John Beck, and there was also a link of the story. So I went and clicked on it, and it was going over the ranking of Washington quarterbacks and the Washington football team's quarterbacks, like a list of their quarterbacks, and like ranked them.
Yeah.
And I got to John Beck, and I was like, I mean, even Chris Cooley was mean.
Yeah, well, I saw everybody.
Former Utah State Aggie.
Former Aggie. Maybe that had a little bit to do with it, but...
Everybody was attacking him.
I was like, wow.
But Santana Moss went too far.
You think? He was thankful that he got injured.
So that he didn't have to play with him anymore.
And some of the descriptive words that he used were completely unnecessary as well.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have been like almost like bleeped out, but in copy form. But no, went with it.
This is what Santana Moss said. He said,
careful.
He sucked. I won't lie to you. I broke my hand, and I didn't play the final two games with him. Nothing better could have happened to me because I didn't have to play with this guy. You talk all this stuff in the offseason, and then you lay this egg. That's what Santana Moss said. And then Chris Cooley said, what I remember is he called everyone, and he said, this is John Beck, your starting quarterback. We all called each other and said, is he the starting quarterback or just saying that? I didn't hate his confidence, but it didn't translate to games. His last two starts were disasters. He was sacked 10 times in a shutout loss against the Bills because he wouldn't throw the ball. He panicked, Cooley said.
Chris, you could have been a little nicer.
Why are they?
Just a little bit.
They don't have to attack John Beck. Come on.
Although, let's be honest, when somebody calls up, Hans, if you got a phone call there at BYU and you answer the phone like this, Sands, like, hey, this is Kevin Federick, starting quarterback at BYU. Your starting quarterback at BYU. Come on, that's not going to sit well with you.
Yeah, it wouldn't have sat very well with me, no. I wouldn't have liked that. I'd have been like, how about you let the coaches call me and let them decide, because what we see, that is not what we see. I wouldn't like a quarterback calling me and telling me. That would be a little bit weird, to be honest with you.
Your starting quarterback.
Did I read that? Did I quote it right? Your starting quarterback?
Yeah, this is your starting quarterback. Hey, this is your starting quarterback.
Now I got to double check that. Are you sure that's right?
Yeah, that's what he said. But here's the deal. John really has turned into a renowned quarterback's coach, and I think largely due in part to Zach Wilson and his story. And I don't know how John got to be such a rotation part of the Zach Wilson story, but boy, that thing got mileage.
Yeah.
Mileage. John Beck couldn't have paid $5 million to get the type of mileage he got out of what he got.
Well, no, if you're in the, apparently if you're in the Intermountain region, it's worth driving on Saturdays or over the weekends to go see John Beck, because he will apparently make you a top draft pick in the NFL. And it's interesting because, John didn't have, I mean, he was a second-round pick. He was a pretty high draft pick, but never obviously had the NFL career that he wanted. But now he's carving out a nice role for himself as a quarterback guru. Same thing with Carson Palmer's younger brother, Jordan Palmer, who had, I think he finished his career at UTEP, never cracked the NFL, but everybody considers him some great, groomer of up-and-coming quarterbacks as well. So, just because you didn't have the career you wanted, apparently people still trust you to help groom you into the quarterback you need to be.
Well, that's John. He's going to make a lot of money doing it.
Well, yeah. And I got to imagine his rates went up considerably after all the pub from Zach Wilson.
Well, and guess what? Santana Moss and Chris Cooley's comments aren't going to affect it because,
no,
as we've seen time and time again, it doesn't matter what you did in the NFL.
Yeah.
It just matters what type of ability, coaching ability, what type of patience and understanding that you have, the ability to teach somebody into that form. That's a unique ability. It's something I wasn't blessed with. It's not something I do well at all.
Well, and that's a really good point, too, because being a coach, like here, Lloyd, you know, all the three of us have done radio for a long, long time. But could we get into a room and actually teach college kids how to do radio? I don't know if we could. I can't because I'm not a good teacher. Like, I yell a lot and get frustrated, and I can't even teach my kids how to mow the lawn because after watching them, you know, get sideways with a stripe, I'm like, all right, just get out of there. I'll do it. You're making a mess out of it.
Leave two Mohawks.
Yeah, like that's unacceptable.
Or they're refilling the gas tank and spill gas into the grass.
Yeah, or put diesel in instead of gasoline.
That happens.
I did that when I was like 10 years old. That didn't go over well at the house.
Well, yeah, that's you growing up on a farm where there's a diesel can and an unleaded can.
They looked exactly the same, too.
They're doing that, or they're grinding the motor on the boat into land.
Like, okay, Lloyd, I feel like you have an axe to grind today, so... Do you want to just get it out?
I've got to go back and look.
No, I'm done. That was my last one.
I don't think it is.
It's my last. I'm done. We're going to get along today.
Well, the last text exchange I've got is like 20 pictures of Angela Lansbury sent at me. I don't understand.
See, after he did that, I was like, okay, we need to bring hands into this. So I was looking for a Wi-Fi type GIF, and I couldn't find anything good. So I was like, oh, well, we'll just let it go.
Wait, Lloyd, you started this.
Yes, thank
mine
you,
mine wasn't
Hans.
Even that bad, though.
Yeah, you sent him a picture of a Twitter profile, and in the guy's profile, it says that he's a former trendsetter.
I thought and Scotty might know
that,
him.
You sent that at Scotty, and you said, do you know this guy, Scotty? And Scotty then sent you a profile of a dog laying down and a guy's name that is, I am a beep beep. It's a bad guy.
A bleep hole.
A bleep dude. And Scotty says, well, Lloyd, do you know this guy?
Oh, wait, it's you.
Oh, wait, it's you.
Yeah.
Yes, he did say that.
See, that's too far. I was just wondering. This guy said he was a trendsetter.
That's not.
Because a former trendsetter.
This guy lives in California. This
yeah,
guy
but it doesn't
no,
mean he's not from
no,
Idaho.
No connections to Southern Idaho, and you're just
I don't know that.
Yeah, you do. You probably have trendsetter in your search
no,
column in your tweet deck.
Do you have trendsetter?
No. I just happened to see this guy's profile. I was like, oh. I'm like, oh, trendsetter.
How in the world did you ever see his? You never. You're searching for this stuff.
No, I'm not.
I'm being serious. I really didn't.
Well, did you tweet at this guy Neil Hebert?
The guy made some goofy
actually
tweet.
Sing and dance.
The guy made a goofy tweet.
Hans, you're not helping.
The guy put out something like somebody from at the Giants game said, you know, happy divorce. You're back in the game or something like that, and that was put on the video board. Like somebody was congratulating a buddy of theirs for getting divorced. And the guy commented on the grammatics of it, and so I was like, oh, what a jerk! And I just happened to look at his profile because I saw that it said trendsetter. I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe Scotty knows him.
It's a random way to get there. Scotty says he doesn't, Lloyd, and I think that's where the conversation needs to stop.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that. That's why. Why do you think I asked if he knew him? Now that I know, I won't ask it again. I'll be like, well, obviously he doesn't know him.
Now what I want to know is where Scotty found a guy whose profile's name is
He's obviously got a bleep hole. Yeah.
Yeah, I did search for that one. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And then there's 20 Angela Lansbury pictures. Thanks, man.
Hey, Angela Lansbury in the 1930s had it going on, man.
Well, 70s too.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Busy show. It's a football Friday as we continue to get you ready for the kickoff of the college football weekend. A lot to break down, Hans, as there's a lot to talk about with Utah, BYU, Utah State. I'm going to be in Colorado Springs coming up this weekend. And some news coming out in the college realignment front. The AAC may be poaching the Mountain West Conference. We'll talk about that as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. As Hans, you know, Homie has done a lot of good, has done a lot of work.
Yeah, they have.
And I know you're a big fan of what's going on out there at Homie.
Huge fan, and I use Homie quite a bit, quite often, because I do a couple of real estate transactions, and Homie has been there for me in every form, whether it's a refinancing situation, a sell situation, or a help buying situation. But, Scotty, one area I have not had a chance to use Homie, but something that's exploding right now is Homie Cash. Homie Cash, it's simple. They can make you a cash buyer so that you can place a cash offer. You know, so many people are coming from out of state, and they're coming in to buy a Utah home, and they've got a stockpile of cash from a home that they sent from or sold from California or Arizona or New York, and they're coming into Utah, and they're paying cash. Well, you can now have a cash offer so that you can be the bell of the ball. You can be the one that's selected to be able to buy this house. I mean, that's just where we're at as far as real estate. So if you go to homie.com, you can sign up and you can register to become a cash buyer. It's not that expensive and it's not that difficult, but they actually front you the cash to become a cash buyer here in the state of Utah.
Wow. And that's the thing, too. You need to keep that money in your pocket. You need to be able to save as much money as you can. But then you also need to be able to have the ability to come in with every bullet that you have available to you to go out there and be competitive. Because, you know, you're hearing, oh, things are starting to die down a little bit. The demand isn't as great as once was. Well, not quite. And you want to make sure you get the house you really want, your dream home. Well, you need to come in with the best offer, and Hans Homie's going to help make that happen for you.
They're going to do it, man. They're incredible. The cash offer is fantastic. And we've got a few things that we've got to touch on today, but I am going to hit this home with everybody. Homie Cash. You can become a cash offer or a cash buyer. We'll get into the buy side of things because there's a fantastic offer that's coming up for Homie right now where you can keep as much as $7,500. We'll tell you about that and so much more. But if you really are desperate or you've felt like you've missed out on a bunch of offers and you're sick of missing out on these homes, it's time to become a cash buyer.
To make it happen, go to homie.com for more information. That's homie.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to talk football with Nick Ford, the University of Utah offensive lineman. Curious how you are after the loss to BYU, and I'm wondering how much that wrecked your whole weekend, so to speak.
You know, you'd say it was a grain of salt. There's a lot of things on film that was good. There's a lot of things on film that were bad. There's a lot of things that people on the outside don't understand that people on the inside do understand, and give credit where it's due. And, you know, it's on to the next week. Can't cope. Nobody feels sorry for us. It's a disappointment and definitely going to improve from that.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Seven 5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day as we get you ready for the start of the another weekend of college football. And Hans, this is going to be a fun weekend for sure to see how these teams handle themselves, how Utah responds after a disappointing loss, how BYU responds after a big emotional win. Do you think? Again, I know it's been kind of the theme of the week, but now it's Friday and we're breaking this stuff down. Do you anticipate there's any emotional hangover for either of those two teams this week?
It's just this new leadership. I need to see it. It's all dependent on leadership and how they organize the locker room and how quick guys refocus and what they're talking about on a Monday through Friday before they kick off this game. And you know, I think that the coaches are going to handle it the right way. Kalani Sitake has incredible enthusiasm, and he's not going to run low on energy. He'll get these guys up and ready for Arizona State. So it's just going to depend on how these leaders address the team. That's really the most important thing. Let me ask you this, Scotty. BYU, Arizona State, Utah, San Diego State, Utah State, Air Force. Give me the list of probability of win, 1 through 3.
1 through 3. I'm going to go Utah 1, BYU 2, Utah State 3.
So you feel pretty confident with Utah and San Diego State.
I do. I just – there's sometimes where we really prop up an opponent and we're like, wow, that team's really, really good.
That's right.
And then it takes that – okay, well, still – they're a Mountain West team, and still, this is Utah. Like they should be better. They're more talented. I know San Diego State's a very physical team, but this is still a team that was, you know, that we anticipated to be a top 25 team, and I still think will be before it's all said and done. This is still a team that's going to challenge for a South Division title in the Pac-12. They can't be losing on the road to San Diego State. They just can't. So I think order's restored. I think Utah's the better team. They're more talented. They need to win this game, and frankly, they need to win it convincingly.
So, so how about this? This I saw this earlier today, Scotty. San Diego State is 6-2 against Pac-12 opponents in their last 8 games against Pac-12 opponents.
Oh boy,
That's wins over Cal, Stanford, UCLA. They beat Arizona State twice, and then last week they got Arizona. So, out of the last 8 times San Diego State has played a Pac-12 opponent, they've had 6 wins. And it's not like they've played the complete trash. It's not – that wasn't wins against Oregon State, Washington State. You know, that's wins against Stanford, Arizona State a couple of times, UCLA. I know UCLA's in the mix. There is one in there in Cal and Arizona. But they've got a couple of good wins against Pac-12 opponents. So – first of all, I agree with your list. I would probably go 1, 2, 3, just like you did. But with San Diego State, you're right. We've propped that opponent up. I think that rightfully so, because I think San Diego State could catch Utah off guard if Utah plays like they did against BYU. And so that's what's stuck in the back of my mind. If Utah comes out and plays the way they can and the way we've seen from Kyle Whittingham against non-conference opponents, Kyle doesn't lose to non-conference opponents.
No.
I don't know what his non-conference opponent – I don't know what his non-conference record is. Lloyd, do you know Kyle's – it's like he's only got 1 or 2 losses in non-conference since they got into the Pac-12, isn't it?
Yes. It's not very many.
I mean, let's be honest, outside of BYU, their last non-conference loss was to Utah State in 2012, up until that loss to BYU last week.
And they entered into the Pac-12, was it 2010?
Yeah.
So there
or
you go.
2011 was their first year in the conference.
Probably 2.
I think it's 2.
Including
the BYU loss?
Including the BYU loss.
Yes. Think I can't remember in 2011 what their non-conference looked like, but it probably – you know they beat BYU that year because they didn't win until 2009, so – or didn't lose in, you know, so
– Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they've got 2 non-conference losses since 2011, and it's to Utah State and BYU.
So we know how Utah prepares. We know that Kyle Whittingham's very familiar with San Diego State. But there is something in the back of my mind in watching undisciplined defensive football and very undisciplined but also scattered offensive football that continues to press me to believe that San Diego State could beat Utah if they play like they did last weekend. If they play like Kyle Whittingham typically plays against non-conference opponents, then they beat San Diego State handedly. And I'm talking about 3 scores, 2 touchdowns and a field goal. 17 points. Yeah, I think that's what they have the capability of doing. But I want to know, you know, you ask about this hangover. BYU might have this emotional dump of beating Utah for the first time, but Utah might have an emotional dump of just struggling against BYU, and maybe they've lost sight of who they are, and maybe there's some struggle there, but I tend to believe that Kyle Whittingham and this offensive staff with Andy Ludwig, I tend to believe they're going to get him on the right page.
Witt's always preaching, don't let a team beat you twice.
Yeah.
And it was such a downer of a game for them that it's like I feel like they might come out a little flat against San Diego State.
Do you, or do you think they come out hot?
See, that's what I think. I think they come out, try to put the hammer down. Now, San Diego State's going to have something to say about that, and they're certainly talented enough that they could create a problem for you. So I don't know if Utah's going to jump out to some 21-3 lead midway through the second quarter, but I do think that Utah comes out and puts the hammer down.
I've got to imagine that they do that, Scotty. I've got to imagine that everybody's been put on alert. Everybody. From Andy Ludwig on down through the offensive staff and Morgan Scully on down to defensive staff. I think that they've all been put on high alert. And their jobs have been tested. Not questioned, but tested.
Yes. It's a good way to put it.
Because you can't lose the way you lost. I can accept a loss, but our guys were flat and our guys were out of position, and I can't handle that if I'm Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah. Well put. And that's, I mean, I don't know, you know, I know you talk to a lot of the coaches and get their thoughts on some things. I'm curious to know if the cage got rattled a little bit, because Kyle Whittingham, this is not something that they're used to. This is not a situation they're used to being in, losing to BYU, losing a non-conference game. And I wonder what the mood is like up there, because sometimes these coaches get a loss and they clamp down the following week.
Oh.
And I think that's why one of the big reasons why I think Utah plays well this week.
I've gotten a couple pieces of feedback of how things have been up there. And I can tell you that it is very uncomfortable, very difficult, and very refocused. But, you know, Scotty, sometimes that type of pressure leads to other issues.
Yeah.
You know, when you've all been put on alert, and that's happened to us, that's happened to all of us in our radio careers, where we get put on alert for something. We have a meeting for something. Did something, said something, sales fell through, something happened. And we're all put on alert. And yeah, all of us respond differently to it. And that's how it is in the world of coaching. They're on high alert right now. Some guys will probably coach more intensely, and players will be like, that's not him. You're out of your game. Who are you? And they won't know how to respond to him. You get out of who you are when pressure is put on you. And if who you are, you know, if you lose who you are and you get out of who you are, sometimes it confuses players and it confuses systems. I've seen it before. I know it happens. Or guys slip back into who they are. Okay, we had a little bit too much fun. You know, we felt a little bit too good about ourselves and a 9-game win streak. Now we got to get back to who we are, and that is playing with a chip on our shoulder, playing with our backs against the wall, playing to prove something at all times that Utah belongs in a national conversation. Maybe they get back to that style, Scotty.
Yeah, and that I think is really the interesting part in all of this is Utah got their cage rattled, and who knows, this might be a blessing in disguise. If Britton Covey is right in his assessment that this is like the USC game in 2019, and Utah then went on a tear and tore through the rest of the Pac-12 up until the Pac-12 championship game, then this is a good thing for the University of Utah. But it goes back to our conversation we had with Frank yesterday. Is this something that was just an execution? You clean up a few things and then you'll be fine? Or are there fundamental issues with this team that aren't going to be able to be addressed until next season with some recruits and things like that? So I think that's going to be the key to all of this before it's all said and done. But can't wait, though. It's a great game. It's a great game for the University of Utah to really test where they're at, because this is not a tune-up game by any stretch. And if you have that same kind of lack of creativity offensively, if you have that same kind of uninspired play, then San Diego State's more than capable of putting it on you. I mean, we've said it all weekends, and hopefully people are dialed in on this, because this is not a San Diego State team that you can just, like in the past, go and just roll over. This is a good team that can give you all kinds of problems.
Really good team, and then this is your final cleanup before you bust into your Pac-12 play. So this will test you. You're going to have to get yourself back in order. You're going to have to find some offensive identity and creativity and get ready for Washington State because you got two games before you play USC. I can't see USC losing any of their next three games before they get to Utah. Oregon State, Washington State, and Colorado are their next three games. So I think both Utah and USC should face off here in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and both of them should be a one-loss team, and there should be everything on the line for South implications coming up here in 4 weeks. And that's the point I want to make to Utah fans. Like, okay, so shake off the BYU loss, and I feel like Utah fans have. In fact, and Lloyd, I don't know how much you've heard, and Scotty, I don't know how much you've heard through this week, but I feel like Utah fans have done a fantastic job of handling what happened with BYU. Like, a really good job. I don't feel like they've rubbed it in too many faces. I don't feel like they've whined and complained and blamed it on anything. Everything that I've seen is Utah fans saying BYU had a great game plan and BYU played their butts off and they beat us.
Yeah.
But now Utah fans need to be able to shake that off and understand that you've got all the conference in the world in front of you. Like, this whole season is still up for grabs. And how that conference is going to play out really does start tomorrow with how Utah shakes free of that loss and plays against San Diego State to get themselves ready for Pac-12 play because it opens in 2 weeks.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all having a tremendous Friday. It's Football Friday right here on The Zone, and we continue to get you ready for the weekend of college football. It's right here on The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
After their emotional win against the Utes, BYU welcomes in another Pac-12 opponent as Arizona State rolls into Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 6 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.975-1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, this week's Las Vegas Raiders game against the Miami Dolphins is brought to you by America First Credit Union, the exclusive home of the official's Raiders debit card. All of the same great benefits and features now with the silver and black. Learn more at AmericaFirst.com/Raiders.
Well, for what you may have missed, Scotty, we knew that this was coming when the Big 12 did what they did and took three ACC teams and put them into the Big 12. Those three have all accepted that invite. They're leaving. And we knew that this was coming. Now, the AAC Commissioner Mike Oresko and conference are headhunting the Mountain West Conference. And there have been four teams announced as most interest: Air Force, Boise State, Colorado State, and San Diego State. Alabama, Birmingham was another one that was mentioned. There were five total teams. The AAC wants to bring in four. They want, because they were at 11. The four would get them up to 12, and they feel like they could strengthen their conference. But this all leads to be bad news if the Mount West Conference is pillaged like that for Utah State.
So let's take Central Florida, Cincinnati, and Houston out of the mix. These are your teams in the AAC currently: Memphis, SMU, Temple, Tulsa, East Carolina, South Florida, and Navy.
Ugh. ugh. South Florida's got a little cachet. Navy being the service academy, I could see why they would want Air Force.
This is why I think it's a problem, though, for the Mountain West, because as currently constituted without those teams, the Mountain West is without a doubt a better conference than the AAC. But there's a couple things I think you need to keep a very close eye on in this. Number one, the Mountain West Conference signed a new contract with Fox and CBS, and they left ESPN for the first time in a long time. ESPN is the TV partner for the AAC. So ESPN can get in the mix, especially with Boise State, who was not happy about leaving ESPN. ESPN can get in the mix and can maybe sweeten the pot, especially for a team like Boise State to make the jump. The other part of this as well is that the AAC is now going to be flush with some cash based on the exit fees they're about to receive for those other three teams that are about to leave. So they can turn around and offer some of these teams an opportunity to maybe pay their exit fee, maybe give them bonuses for coming over, things along those lines. At first glance, you look at this and say, this is ridiculous. Why would any team want to join that conference? But the AAC commissioner, Mike Oresko, is extremely aggressive. He's not going down without a fight. And I said this a week ago, Hans, if the Mountain West Conference does not be, if they are not proactive and they do not try to add some of these teams just to try to cut the legs off of the AAC, then they are doing themselves a massive disservice. You've got a conference on the ropes, but they're aggressive and they've got some cash behind them now, or some projected cash. This could be a real problem, and I think we're going to find out probably in the next couple of weeks how this thing's going to play out, maybe even next week. But it's going to be a bit of an arms race between these conferences, and make no mistake, if you're Craig Thompson and you're not being aggressive and you're not trying to find a way to put away the AAC, they're going to do the same to you.
What is the Mountain West Conference currently paying? The AAC is paying about $7 million per university right now.
Boise State is guaranteed $5.8 million a year. The other teams get around 3 to 3.5, somewhere around there.
Jeez.
But the problem is, with those three teams leaving, that payout's going to get dropped significantly in the AAC, much like what we're going to see in the Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma leaves.
But do they feel like they can stabilize it with Boise State, Air Force, and that's
the hope.
Yeah.
But Boise State already did a feasibility study about a month or so ago that was released that said that they, because of the travel costs with the other sports, they would end up losing money even if they got that $7 million a year rights. That's with Central Florida and those teams in the conference. They realized they would lose money if they were to make the jump. Now that payout's been dropped. But again, ESPN can get involved and say, okay, well, what do we need to do? We want to support a conference that we're aligned with. What can we do to help out in that regard? And so this could very well be a problem for the Mountain West Conference if they are not proactive, if they don't have good leadership. If Craig Thompson drops the ball on this and they're able to secure teams from the Mountain West Conference, then Craig Thompson, his employment should be looked at in a big, big way if I'm these ADs around the Mountain West Conference.
Think about this. If you're Boise State, in a given year, you could go to Tennessee, Louisiana, Florida, Texas on four road trips in conference play.
Yes.
That would be hellish. And that's just their football team. You throw in all their other sports, and they're constantly on the road. Those are long trips.
Yep.
Those are extremely long trips.
Sending your volleyball team to, you know, Carolina. I mean, it's just...
Or Florida for, you know, whatever, two matches out of the year. The amount of travel and cost of travel would be astronomical. But at the same time, if you're looking at if they could hold it $7 million, and that would be something interesting. The other thing that has surprised me, the AAC really did take over with those automatic New Year Six bowl berths. They took over. At first, I thought the Mountain West Conference would be able to control those to a certain extent, and I thought that the AAC could maybe get a couple out. But the AAC has had five of the seven automatic New Year's Six bowl berths in the seven-year history of college football playoffs.
Yeah.
They've grabbed it five times. Now, you're right. I think the teams leaving probably a praise for all five of those, maybe? I'm trying to think.
It's Cincinnati and Central Florida.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, they're losing the most interesting programs of that conference, but I do feel like the ones that they've suggested, San Diego State, Air Force, Colorado State, and Boise State are very, you know, very nice additions to a group of five conference. The AAC would be lucky to have them.
Yeah.
I just, Scotty, doesn't make a ton of sense, but if they can offer them $7 million and they can increase by $3.5 million and they give Boise State whatever, you know, whatever concessions they need to give them, Craig Thompson better get out in front of this. You're right. He better get out in front of this. He better be the first to make a move.
Well,
one way or the other.
Hans, I mean, just looking at it, and I have no inside info on this, but just looking at the fact, we say all the time, you know, never propose unless you know what the answer is going to be. The fact that there's already word out there about this leads me to believe this is really far down. The talks have really progressed at this point, which, if you're a Mountain West Conference fan and not of these schools, should make you very, very nervous. And so when word gets out like this, when Dennis Dodds and some of these great college football writers start reporting on this, that means they're usually, when they start reporting stuff like that, it usually means you're already two steps down the line further from what they're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like, this is really, really concerning. And I think that if you are a Utah State fan, if you're a Wyoming fan, if you're a New Mexico fan, a UNLV fan, a Fresno fan, you should be very, very concerned about some of the reports you're hearing right now.
Is there a time that we could see Utah State have an in-state conference opponent in Weber State?
Oh, no. It's not that bad. let's calm down there. What are you doing? Jeez, man.
Well, I'm seeing the bricks tumble from Power 5 down to Group 5. I wonder if it hits the FCS where
no,
FCS,
I mean, look,
broadcaster of the year here.
Idaho is the only team that's ever done anything like that. And, yeah, no, I don't think it's quite to that level yet. Jeez, man.
No, I'm saying the Mountain West Conference bringing Weber State up.
Oh, I thought you were talking about. I thought Utah State going to the Big Sky.
I'm talking about Weber State getting an opportunity in the Mountain West Conference.
Well, Utah State's going to need to go down to the FCS.
Okay. I got you now.
Join the Big Sky.
I'm glad you guys are thinking worst case scenario instead of, yeah, good for Weber State. I'm over here like, man, this could be a great
game. I thought you were having fun at Scotty's expense. I'm sorry.
I did too. I thought you were jabbing a little bit.
I was thinking about that conference trying to strengthen with getting a Weber State team that's had a lot of success.
I'm sorry. That's
my bad. You're right.
All right. Hans is Scotty 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Katie's hanging out with us from Homie. Katie, how are you?
Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
We are doing well. Hey, let's talk about it. The fact that you're allowing people to come in with a cash offer, coming in with all guns blaring about being able to get the offer that they need to make so they can get their dream home.
Yeah, in Utah, cash offers have increased over 58% year over year. And so cash offers are not going away. They're here to stay for a while. And we are making it so the average buyer can be a cash offer. And so we'll turn your normal offer into a cash offer. We'll front the cash using Homie Loans. We'll make it so you can win the house of your dreams.
And this is affordable, too. I want people to understand. They're hearing, whoa, they're going to front $700,000 or $750,000 or $800,000. They're going to front that for me? This has got to be expensive. But, Katie, I looked at the numbers on this. It is affordable. You know, if you're looking for that dream home and you feel like you've gotten beat on every offer, this really is an affordable way to get that home you're looking for.
Yeah, there are no additional charges or fees or anything. It's the same interest rate as a traditional purchase. So we'll make sure that it feels just like you're doing a traditional home buying process, but you're winning that home instead of getting beat out by another cash offer.
Go to homie.com for more information on how you can do that. I mean, it's a really impressive way to go in and say, look, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to get our home. Let's make sure we don't let our dream home slip away from us. Go to homie.com, and you can secure that loan to be able to make sure you can make that happen. Katie, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Go to homie.com right now. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.